From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, The Kindness and Love of God our Savior. How sweet it is to behold the Savior communing with His own people. There can be nothing more delightful than, by the divine Spirit, to be led into this fertile field of delight. Let the mind for an instant consider the history of the Redeemer's love, and a thousand enchanting acts of affection will suggest themselves, all of which have had for their design the weaving of the heart into Christ and the intertwisting of the thoughts and emotions of the renewed soul with the mind of Jesus. When we meditate upon this amazing love and behold the all-glorious kinsman of the church endowing her with all his ancient wealth, our souls may well faint for joy. Who is he that can endure such a weight of love? That partial sense of it which the Holy Spirit is sometimes pleased to afford is more than the soul can contain. How transporting must be a complete view of it! When the soul shall have understanding to discern all the Savior's gifts, wisdom wherewith to estimate them, and time in which to meditate upon them, such as the world to come will afford us, we shall then commune with Jesus in a nearer manner than at present. But who can imagine the sweetness of such fellowship? It must be one of the things which have not entered into the heart of man, but which God has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, to burst open the door of our Joseph's granaries, and see the plenty which He hath stored up for us! This will overwhelm us with love. By faith we see as in a glass darkly the reflected image of His unbounded treasures. But when we shall actually see the heavenly things themselves with our own eyes, how deep will be the stream of fellowship in which our soul shall bathe itself! Till then, our loudest sonnets shall be reserved for our loving benefactor, Jesus Christ our Lord, whose love to us is wonderful, passing the love of women.
Oh, yeah.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A. W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Damasian brings the final portion of a message entitled, Called to be Pure. The text, chapter 4, verses through 8, finds the Apostle Paul dealing with the matter of personal sanctification. Apparently, there was concern over some immorality in the Thessalonian church. Christians are not to participate in the sins practiced by the heathen around them, for holiness is God's ultimate goal for His people. Paul emphasized that each believer should know how to possess his vessel or his body in sanctification and honor. It's important to realize that Satan attacks each believer at the point where he's weakest, at that sin that so easily besets him. That area must be guarded. For the believer, purity is not an option. God judges sin in the church as well as in unbelievers. Now to conclude this message, Call to be Pure, here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
We are to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That is not for you. So in the advice Paul gives, there needs to be control, there needs to be a contrast, and there needs to be concern, verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter or you can see if you have a margin, the word any is in italics. It could be translated the with a definite article, the matter. I think that makes more sense. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in the matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. This is the awful reality, at least in one party in this church. Someone professing Christ in this church was giving themselves to adultery in the church of Christ. They were defrauding their brother. What does it mean to defraud? That is to take advantage of someone for personal benefit. Someone was taking that which belonged to another brother, and it relates, it seems, to this whole matter of fornication and adultery. And no man go beyond and defraud his brother in the matter. It should not be found among anyone that they would do this to another brother, that they would practice this within the church, that they would give themselves to this. Shocking. And yet, is it an isolated event? Sadly not. You know, it's better to be dead than to be guilty of crimes like this. Is that not what the Lord says? Matthew 18, verse 6, whoso shall offend one of these little ones, referring to Christians, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. We should be very concerned if there's any kind of defrauding in the mind of anyone within the body of Christ, never mind toward the world. I mean, it doesn't. It's wrong no matter how you look at it. And of course, even in that generation, even in this time, even in the midst of the paganism of the first century, taking another man's wife was off limits. It was wrong. So this was bringing utter disgrace to the church. Testimony that this would be carried on within the church of Jesus Christ was an awful, awful testimony. And Paul had heard something, and he addresses it very pointedly. That brings us thirdly then to consider the persuasive reasons. What are the reasons that are given here? First, because of God's vengeance. The end of verse 6. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. The Lord is the avenger of all such. God will deal with the person who gives themselves to fornication, adultery, and other practices of uncleanness. He will. He will deal with them. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, we read, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He will judge them. And that judgment may be experienced even on this side of eternity. There may be hard experiences, difficult experiences that people will go through because God will not have the defrauding of a brother, of a sister. He will not see one of his children suffer in this way and just turn a blind eye to it. And those that will give themselves to these kind of unclean behaviors, they will experience God judging them in various ways. In what ways? I can't begin to tell you. All I know is that God judging even those within the body of Christ is not something exclusively found in the Old Testament. It's not just something we see repeated through the book of Numbers. It's something we find throughout the Word of God. We find it in Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, if not lied unto man, but unto God. And they're struck down dead. 1 Corinthians 11, again, warning given. And how people were approaching the Lord's table and their conduct in the house of God. And for this reason, many are sick. And many sleep. God executed judgment upon individuals, not the discipline of the church, not the oversight of the body, things perhaps going on that even the oversight are not aware of, but God is the avenger of all such. He He will in mercy stand and advocate for the harmed party. And you look at Paul's language, as we also have forewarned you and testified. God, Paul didn't leave this out. He did not leave it out. The preacher is to give the warnings. The preacher preaches the love of God in Christ. The preacher brings the fullness of the gospel as it's presented in the Son of God. But the preacher is not fulfilling his full mandate if he leaves out the fact that God still is in a position of judge. And even those within the covenant community, within the body of Christ, may experience the hand of judgment upon their lives. Do not trifle with God. Quickly, not only because of God's vengeance, but because of God's purpose. Verse 7. What's his purpose? Again, underlining this point, God has not called us onto uncleanness, but onto holiness. This is what he's called us to. It's underlining verse 3 where we began. Underscoring this point, God has not called us onto uncleanness, but onto holiness. Again, this is what the believer is called to. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5 verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Fornication, uncleanness, don't let it be named once among you. And again, we read Colossians 3 already, "Mortifying therefore your members which are upon the earth," fornication and so on, putting these things to death. God's purpose is, look at it, holiness. It's not a bad word, beloved. Holiness is Christ-likeness. "And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." Then because of the Holy Spirit, verse 8, "He therefore that despiseth," the one who rejects this, doesn't despise man, doesn't reject man, he rejects God, "who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." The Spirit, you see, and what Paul is arguing here is that never forget the Spirit indwells the genuine believer. Every genuine child of God has the Spirit dwelling within. And Paul is making it very easy for people reading on. If a man rejects this, he rejects not man, he rejects God. And he may profess to be a believer, but he can't reject God in this way if the Spirit is in him. So if he's rejecting God, it's because he doesn't have the Spirit. He doesn't have the Spirit. If he has a problem with this, he doesn't have the Spirit. He's not a child of God. God has given unto his people his Holy Spirit. His Spirit sanctifies. Spirit changes their lives. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. You know, it amazes me that someone can think the Spirit of God lives in a person and leaves them in a condition of sinfulness and unbelief. You have great preachers. I mean, I say great in terms of their fame, not great in terms of what they actually teach. One well-known, long, been preaching a long time in the United States, very well-known ministry. He has a book where he deals with eternal security, and he says this, "Even if a believer for all practical purposes becomes an unbeliever, his salvation is not in jeopardy. And last, believers who lose or abandon their faith, believers who lose or abandon their faith will retain their salvation, for God remains faithful. Christ will not deny an unbelieving Christian his or her salvation, because to do so would be to deny himself." This is eternal security brought to nonsense. A man is an unbelieving Christian. But this is Christianity in America. Thousands gather and sit under a ministry like this that makes them believe, "I walked an aisle, I accepted Jesus into my heart, and no matter what I do, no matter what I do, I am fine." Paul says, no. He that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within the genuine believer, and they will never reject what God says. Yes, they may go through times of sanctification, experience of learning, absolutely. But whenever the word is plain, when God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, when he makes plain that fornication is completely in opposition to his will, they will submit, they will accept, they will understand, they will repent, and by the grace of God, they will change their ways. Purity is serious business, beloved. It is really serious business. We are called to be pure. These sins are not to be named in the body of Christ. And I want to issue a call to you all. If you are in bondage to these sins, in whatever way, you need help. Yes, you may repent. You say, I've done that 1,000 times. But maybe what you need is to come and seek discipleship and help. To come and seek for help in these matters is not a wrong thing to do. Paul hears about this. The church is understanding things are going on, is raised to the leadership. There's a letter written to address the matter. In other words, the body is seeking to help the body. Seeking to make sanctification an experience that goes throughout the body where we help one another. And for the sake of your walk with God, indeed for the sake of your eternity, if you have a weakness in these sins and you need help, then come and seek out that help. There will not be judgment. There will be calls to repentance, certainly, but not judgment. And we'll walk with you and we will help you in any way we can to understand what your weak point is and how to disciple you through it and get the victory by the help of the Spirit over these sins, because they shouldn't be found in the body of Christ. We are called to be pure. We are called unto holiness. May the Lord give us grace and may help us to glorify Christ in understanding the importance of these issues. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we do pray for grace. Thy word on this matter is plain. Those that habitually do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We pray that thou wilt help us to hear the warnings. Pray that this congregation will be preserved, graciously preserved. We pray that these sins will not be named once among us. But if they are, Lord, cause the gospel to prevail. Claim the victory for thyself. Set captives free. Wash and transform as you did for David. Plead with thee, O God, purify our hearts. Help us to know how to possess our vessel. So bless us, that thy word be hidden in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Save souls even this morning. There are lost ones before us. They have given themselves to the practice of the Gentiles. They long to exercise themselves in that which is unclean and unholy. God, bring them under conviction. Have mercy upon their never-dying souls. Hear us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.